Fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got a lot on my plate today. That's for sure. Scripture, how do I get myself? I don't want myself up on that. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's cool. Don't touch anything. Lot on the plate today, man. I get to go today to one of the schools over in Columbus, Ohio, and speak to the senior class. It's called Radical Political Science. Radical Political Science. And I happened to schedule it. A long time ago. And wouldn't you know it, I scheduled it the day before Sky High. And so I've got people coming over today to help clean up Sky High, and I'm not even going to be there. But Chad's there, and Steve Deck will be there, Michelle will be around. And so those of you who are coming, we said 10 o'clock, anytime after that. I don't know what the weather's going to do. It's going to rain or whatever. It's just some odds and ends you're going to help us with. I really appreciate it. But the point I was making about getting to speak to these seniors, they're all seniors in high school at a suburban high school. It's actually, where am I going today? Worthington Kilbourne High School in Columbus. Typical, what do they call? I don't want to call it yuppie school, but suburban school. And I told him, I said, man, I don't know if I can make it. I tried to weasel my way out of it. And he texted me back, said, oh, Coach, listen, you got to come. These kids are getting so much crap. It's not true. Shoved down their throat. We need somebody like you to come in. So I agreed. They do need somebody like me to come in. And so that's what I'm going to be doing today. And I love it. I love that interaction with kids. And, you know, if you really want to, get your eyes open, you walk into a group of high school seniors and you're going to find out, you talk about a generation gap. You talk about having a different set of beliefs. And of course, we've been speaking about that here all the time, haven't we, with a humanist manifesto and a communist manifesto and all that bilge that they've been teaching to our kids. And we're seeing it now. We're reaping the consequences of that indoctrination. We have a terrible, terrible, huge fight in front of us, folks. No matter how this whole thing plays out here with the COVID and all that kind of stuff, we have a rebuilding process like we have never, ever done. In fact, Spencer, I just sent to you Hebrews chapter 12. And is Silver in here? I want to start out with this today. Silver's always in here.
I'm always in here.
You're always in here.
Try to be.
So you know me. So hang on a second.
I know how it works.
Okay, hang on. This daggone thing. Take this. Ah! I had to get some wireless, maybe. Bear with me a second. That just broke. We're looking forward to you coming to Sky High this weekend. Come on and come. And of course, I don't even know how many of you are last minute signups. Why do you guys do that to us? Why couldn't you decide a week ago you were coming? 10 days ago you were coming. So we're pushing 100 now, and you're still welcome. Still welcome to come. If you just want to come over for Saturday, just drive over Saturday. Just come and join us. Because I convinced one. Yes, that's not the right word. I was speaking to one yesterday and finally said, come on, man, come on. You're going to meet the greatest people that you have ever known in your whole life. You're going to meet them there Saturday. They're not weirdos. They're not cult members. These are people who are got their ear to the track and they know what's going on. If you're a lover of truth, you want to know the truth. Come. What do you think? What, Jim Jones is going to drink Kool-Aid? What? Come on, kid. Come on. So I'm still extending that out there to some of you. Come on. Come on. I don't know why you guys ignore my mind's rolling today. Do you think the Bible's just suggestions? Are they just suggestions? When the Lord said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. Was he kidding? And the same thing, I was talking to my wife, or maybe it was Steve Deck. I mean, I know the difference between Steve Deck and my wife. I just don't remember who I was having the conversation with. And I ran down a litany of about 10 guys that used to be in the huddle. Maybe more than that. I said, where did this guy, and 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 this guy? And my response is always the same. I don't know, but I hope they're assembling with somebody. I hope they're assembling. Who are they? They don't have to come here and be here, Coach Dave. My ego isn't that big. I don't care. Who are they assembling with? And some of these guys were frontline warriors that we took to the battle. They would go to the battle with us. And now they're gone. Where are they? Who are they assembling with? And I understand, all of us understand this, that people come in and out of your lives. I get that. The friends that I had 10 years ago, most of them, they're not my friends. Well, maybe pretty much now that I'm older, I guess, but you guys know what I am. People come into you, as somebody said, come into your life for a reason, for a season. But we allow folks, you ain't going to get away from truth. And some of you are drawn here because it's the truth. And you you're sitting on the riverbank, throwing your bait in here every morning, but you won't put your toe in the water. You're a lurker. You lay out there. You don't want anybody to know you're listening. Heaven forbid you'd ever go to your pastor and say, you won't believe this, pastor. I get up every morning and I watch this show. Or heaven forbid, pastor, I drive a truck and I'm listening to this guy. And it's really, really... some of the stuff that's going on with these people in this thing they call this Q thing, man, pastor, it's really making me start to think. And they come home, they say to their wife, boy, I'm seeing things a little bit differently. And there's tension coming in homes. Somebody can say amen. Don't say amen. You'll expose yourself. There's tension coming in homes because one of these is getting awake and the other one isn't quite awake yet. Right. And I hear it over and over and over. People saying to me, golly, my nephew took the jab. My son took the jab. They don't even listen to me anymore. They think, right? Yeah. I'm hitting home here today, right? And so we need more than anything, folks, to obey what the God Lord said. Gather together. Who are you gathering with? Are you just going and getting in that big box they call church, just sitting in there, looking around, sitting in your church and looking around and realizing, I'm telling you the truth. At least 90% of the people you're sitting beside in that church don't have any idea what's going on. Give me a thumbs up. Say, yep, that's me, coach. That's me. And I keep going back there because my mom went there, my kids went there, and I like the pastor, and I'm loyal to it. See, there's the mark of Ezekiel on you. The Lord's going through, and he's marked you. That's why you can't get away from this. I don't know why I'm scratchy this morning. Can't get away from it because the Lord's already marked you. He marks you. Go to Ezekiel 9 real quick, Spencer, before I get Joe back in here. That's what some of you are dealing with. It's what some of you are dealing. Mark of Ezekiel. keep going down, Spencer. Go down below, Father. Okay, there. And the Lord said unto me, Silver, you can read it for me. Hang on. Folks, you understand this is some of you and you don't know it. This is some of you and you don't know it. Okay? Now, here's what's going to happen. You're either going to be all in or you're going to be all out. You're either going to embrace the things of the Lord or you're not. You can't. I pray that conflict comes into your home that makes you decide whether you're all in or all out. I don't want any divorces. I don't want anything like that. But it's time that we stood on truth. Go ahead, Silver. Start on verse 4 of Ezekiel 9.
And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, to the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof.
Okay, that's a good time to raise your hand. Say, that's me. I sigh and I cry what I see it's going on. It keeps me awake at night. I think about it all day. I look at my grandchildren and I sigh and cry over what, that's you, see. Why are you resisting this mark? Why are you resisting? Keep going, Joe.
And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary.
In other words, folks, hang on. If you're doing the Lord's will, if you're all in with that mark, he can't touch you, folks. He can't touch you without the permission of the Lord. Go on, Joe.
Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house.
Hey, Joe, what would the ancient men be? Anybody have a suggestion on what the who would the ancient men be?
Be somebody like us, I think.
I think so. Church fathers, right? Mm-hmm. And don't miss this. Folks, don't miss this. And here in Ezekiel, the Lord is livid with the church fathers who let this milk come in. That's what this is about. This is about going after those old gray hairs who got their mobile home and are cruising the country while their grandchildren's future is being eaten. Somebody can say amen, but you don't have to.
Amen.
This is, hey, judgment's hard, isn't it? We don't like those judgment verses. We don't like those judgment verses. We don't like those. We like those bless me verses. He said, go get those old men. And I would say, Joe, go pick up. Then they began at the, oh man.
And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city.
Hey, Joe, who did they slew?
All the old guys.
All the old guys you should have known better.
And it came to pass while they were slaying them that I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem?
So, Lord, that judgment ain't coming on America, is it, Lord? You're going to give us a last-minute reprieve here, aren't you, Lord?
Then he said unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. As for me also, mine eye shall not spare.
Wow.
Neither will I have pity.
The Lord's saying, oh my goodness.
But I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me.
Okay, so some of you are dealing with a mark on your forehead. That's why there's great conflict and consternation all around you. Because for some reason, the Lord has chosen you to mark. Because he knows you get it. And that you sigh and that you cry. And not only does that, he said, listen, you're going to sigh. Because you sigh and you cry, I'm putting that mark on you. And you go and you're going to be protected. Oh, they're going to hate you. They're going to say things about you. They may even knock down your mailbox. That mark's on your head, and you be faithful to that mark. Folks, it's serious stuff. It's serious stuff. And which one of us out here, which one of us watching right now knows, which one of us out here knows the miracle that God might make through you if you put it all on the line? Quit worrying about hurting people's feelings. Stop pleasing men. When desperate times, I cry and I sigh. Go to Hebrews 12. Go ahead, Silver. Hey, folks, this is the Holy Spirit because I didn't have any of this planned.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses.
Who is Joe?
We.
Seeing we. We. Are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. What do witnesses do, Joe? I don't want to put Joe on the spot. What do witnesses do?
They relay what they've seen.
They relay what they've seen. Or in a court of law, we hope they testify to the truth, right?
Correct.
So everything that we're doing and everything that's going on here right now, those of you who have that mark of Ezekiel on your forehead, there's a cloud of witnesses. There's a cloud of witnesses. They know you have that mark too. They saw it happen. They saw that moment when you went from being saved to being converted. They saw it. And when they saw it happen, it's like they televised the NFL draft, because why? Everybody wants to see who their new stud is on their team. And here are all these guys sitting in front of their big screen TVs, and they're looking down and they see who just got marked. They say, oh, yeah, we drafted silver. Yeah, we got silver now. Woo, we got Randy now. They're all, hey, folks, they're watching. Unless the Lord's lying. Keep going, Joe.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Okay, now why? Why, folks, do we have to lay aside every weight and every sin so easily besets us and run the race that is set before us? Why do we have to do that? Because we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They're watching what we're going to do with what he's done in us. They're watching. They're going to testify. They're going to be maybe at that great white throne judgment, even though you don't earn your way to heaven, and even though they tell us works don't matter, there's going to be a whole bunch of witnesses that are going to be there, and they're going to be either honoring you or hissing you. That's the way I read it.
Amen.
Keep going, Joe.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
He's the author and finisher of what? He began it, and he's going to finish what? Our faith. What's our faith? Moving into action. When we see and are spurned by the Lord to do it, that's exercising our faith. See, our faith isn't exercising that my grandson would be healed. Yes, that is my faith, but my faith is living out what he's put into my heart, because there's a mark on me, and I got to go through the city. Because I cry over the abominations, and the great cloud of witnesses know I've been marked. Randy's on the job. Mark Trump's on the job. Glenn's on the job. They see it and they're watching it. Keep going, Joe.
Who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame.
Wait a minute. You mean shame comes with the cross? What? Shame and the cross, folks, they're indivisible. You follow the cross, shame comes. He told us that. You're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. You're going to be hated. Why? Because shame follows the cross. Wow. Keep going, Joe. This is good.
And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Who is? That dude that despised the shame, endured the cross. That dude's sitting right now. He's the king bee. He got the best seat in the house of all these witnesses. He's got the king's seat, and he's looking and he's watching. It's scary, isn't it? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows if you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Verse 3.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself.
Wow.
Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds.
He's your model. Look what he went through. That's you, dude. You've been marked. That's you. You get to do that now.
Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?
Boy, there's a life verse for you.
But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons.
Daggone! You guys get what he just said there? Do you get what he just said there? I wish I could do the New Living Translation version of that, right? If you can't endure the chastisement and the hard times and the chastening of the Lord and the direction and the correction in your own life, if you can't go through some hard times and not remain loyal and faithful to do what you're supposed to do, he says you're a bastard. I don't even know who you are. Joe, is that what it says? Or is it, huh? Am I trying to twist it? When's the last time you heard this preached in your evangelical-based church?
If you haven't been chastised, then you're fake.
You're a bastard. You're not even a real son. You can go around, call yourself pastor and minister this and tell everybody how saved you are and get your flags and dance through the sanctuary and praise the Lord and worship the Lord and talk about how much. Hey, Joe, Spencer, he's on top of it. He threw up the New Living Translation. See if it softened it for us, which is what they usually do.
As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who is disciplined by its father?
Never disciplined by his father.
Who's never disciplined by his father. If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate.
Wow.
And are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever?
Wow. Man, I didn't even know this was in the gospel. Joel Osteen hadn't read this part of it yet, I don't think. Keep going. I'm basking in this, Joe. Go ahead. Verse 9.
Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?
Wow. Said you behaved your earthly dad. Why the heck won't you believe your heavenly Father? And you're going to live.
For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure.
They got joy out of chastening us, yes.
But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness.
Wow.
Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby.
Could somebody explain to me how would you describe the peaceable fruit of righteousness? See, that's what comes after chastening. The peaceable fruit of how would you explain that? I mean, I'm really asking. What would that be? The peaceable fruit of righteousness. That when justice has come, peace comes. And you did your crime, you did your time, and even those around you won't let you get away from your past. You have a peaceable fruit of righteousness in you. Why? Because you've been disciplined. You receive the discipline and the correction and the new direction. Verse 12, Joe.
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed.
Wow. You don't want to walk with a limp anymore. It's get healed.
Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
Wow, that's scary. That is really scary right there.
Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled.
Wow, how are many defiled, Joe? By that root of bitterness. Yeah. The 10 or 15 or 20 guys who aren't in the queue anymore, probably with some bitterness sprung up inside them. Would anybody agree with that? Coach did this with this guy and he didn't do this with that guy. And I said this and he said this and screw him, right? Sorry. Keep going.
Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright.
He said, look, that sentence connected with the one before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For ye know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Does that mean at some point you reach a point of no return, that you were disobedient, and the Lord says, that's it. That's it. You ever do that with your own children? Go ahead, hell, you're going to do what you want to do. Go on.
For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest.
No, no, when you come to the Lord, you don't come to that dark stuff.
And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more.
Why?
Lest they die.
For they could not endure that which was
commanded. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God,
amen,
the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
Wow.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
All right, let's cut it off there. Don't hear that stuff preached to you. By the way, Hebrews New Testament, I think, isn't it? I think it's New Testament. Pretty sure. Go on, Dale.
Bro, that is such a stern chapter. Just, yes, I do preach out of that. And one of the analogies I use is just because it, talking about the bastard, which means to be fatherless. We're talking about heavenly fatherless. If you go to Walmart and some kid's cutting up, if it's not your child, you're not disciplining it. So like I said, if you're in church just because God's, oh, I'm sorry, did I say church? If you're in Walmart and you're not being disciplined by the Father, then you're not his. Let's just take that for the first thing. In other words, all these people, just because you're going to church, if God is not disciplining you, you're like the child in Walmart. If it's not your child, you're not being disciplined. The second thing, going back to this, brother, because that's probably the hardest thing, especially even as for a pastor, it says, let no root of bitterness spring up amongst you, right? So it springs forth. It's like a plant where so the root is bitterness, the fruit is defilement, and the seed is, ready? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, oh, right? You hurt my feelings. We can't walk this out anymore. Therefore, it brings forth the fruit of defilement.
Good word, Dale. Good word. Boy, a lot of that going on in there. If we just hated the enemy as much as we hated other Christians, we might get somewhere. That's a good line. You could amen there. That's a pretty good line. Go ahead, Luann, then Rich, then Bernie.
You call me first?
Luann.
Okay. With my own kids. When they wouldn't listen, I told them, well, go ahead, go for it. Then when they finally hit the floor, they had no other way but up. Now they're all serving God. Yes. They're not perfect. Nobody is. But they had to learn that lesson to get a move on. Amen. Get it in gear.
It's the discipline of the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
Rich, come on in.
Yeah, Dave, in Ezekiel 9, you talked about God's mark on your forehead. And then you go to Revelations 9, and it shows the what happens to those that doesn't have the mark, God's mark on their forehead.
Hmm. Amen. See if we can get that up there real quick. Amen, Rich.
Yeah, not on, but in.
In.
In your forehead.
Yes, yes, in your forehead. I apologize.
What does that mean, Mark, in your forehead?
I think it means you're woke to Jesus. Your pineal gland's active, that sort of thing. I don't know, Coach. It's interesting, though.
But the point you're making, it's not something somebody came up with a magic marker and put on it. See, the stamp of Ezekiel, the mark of Ezekiel was stamped. It was outside, right? Mark's pointing out that here in Revelation, it's inside.
It's Coach, in. how do we say? By the transforming of our mind. Yeah. This is where it's marked right there.
It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. In it, not on it. Bernie.
Okay. Yeah, Coach, I'm just going to throw this out there. I think some of the times people get on these hobby horse doctrines and they take them way too far. Because people teach and preach the unconditional love, God's unconditional love, no matter what, and unconditional. Well, the passage you read just has a whole bunch of conditions in it. And I mean, it's true that Christ loves fully because of him, not because of us, okay? And yeah. that's unconditional. But when you start acting like there's no condition that you have to have to come to Christ, you almost have, like, oh, you don't even have to receive him. Well, a lot of conditions in there. So you need to think about what are the conditions that we come to Christ.
Well, we come to him on his standards, not on ours, Bernie. That's for sure.
Well, that's right. Well, he just laid out a bunch of standards, and when people get on this hobby horse, oh, everything has to be unconditional. They're off.
There's a lot of conditions. If and thens.
There you go.
Amen.
Thank you.
Dustin, go in. And Craig.
Coach, you brought it up a couple times, and I don't know if I'll say this right, but where you said that, you know, some people just disappear, like off the show, for example.
Yeah.
And what I don't understand, and for me, and this is for men, I just don't have a tolerance with men who act like a bunch of betas, mm-hmm. and they get offended when we can't agree on something, and they stomp mm-hmm. off and never return. It's just so stupid. Mm-hmm.
Well, Dustin, it's like this, and listen, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. I'm not, all right? I don't know about you guys. Raise your hand if you've ever moved. Okay, good. We know, right? We know that. How many of you loaded up all your furniture and took everything out of your old house before you had a new house to go to? Anybody do that? Load up all your stuff when you're moving and you don't know where you're moving to? People don't do that, do they? You don't do that. You figure out where you're going to go, and then you load up your stuff and you take it to your new place. That's the way I think it is. So, again, my point is, those guys who moved, where'd they go? Who are they assembling with? That's all I worry about. Who are they assembling with? Well, they're starting their own thing. Okay, well, that's good. We've got others assembling with it. I got no problem with that. Where are they? See, well, somebody said it. Maybe it was Bernie. Boy, if we all could just see the pride in our own heart, if I could just see the pride in my own heart. Offense comes from pride, let there be no doubt. Come on in, Craig.
You know, we ended up with the contrast of the new covenant, and it was in reference to Abel. So let's turn back to the story of Cain and Abel. Let's see what it says. And of course, we know God received Cain's sacrifice because basically he accepted Abel's sacrifice because Abel did what God said. Cain said, I'll do something different. But this is the takeaway I get from it. When you go to Genesis 4:6, look what the Lord says to Cain. So Cain just blew it. So the Lord goes and he says to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. But here's the catch-all. But you should rule over it. That means you have the ability. That means you have the authority to rule over it. But it's your will.
Wow.
It's holding you back.
Craig, that's Old Testament. We don't believe in the Old Testament here, brother. Larry, Jack. Larry and then Jack.
Yeah, Bernie really hit a mic drop moment there. This unlimited love doctrine that and it starts and it begins and its central core in the satanic social clubs is the false definition of grace that is spread in those social clubs.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's done that way because for the most part, the CEO of the church wants more customers. That's it. I don't ever fall into that trap. Come on in, Jack.
Yeah, just the ones that have been here and are gone, bless them, move on. But 2 years ago, there were 40, 45 people in the queue. Right now, there's 121.
I'm with you.
It's what it is, and we're growing, and you're influencing people. There's new people in here all the time, and I get calls. Hey, I listened to him. Holy smokes. I wish I'd have heard this. Okay, we're doing it. We're just doing it. Keep moving. Don't stop. Don't look back. Move forward.
Amen, amen, brother. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to shift gears. You know me. I like a little bit of gospel and a little bit of culture. So if you could, real quickly, aborted cells. Click on aborted cells there, Spencer. Hey, thanks. Thanks, you guys who read it and those who comment. Breaking project. Pfizer whistleblower reveals in internal emails discussing the COVID vaccine. And they admit in this, we're going to play this short video. We want to avoid having the information on fetal cells floating out there. They don't want the general public to know that there are, in fact, aborted baby tissues inside the vaccine for every one of those pastors who told people to take the shot. There are aborted baby tissue in the vaccines, and they don't want the people to know it. Play that, Spencer. Go on right there.
I work at a pharmaceutical company. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just believe in research and science.
Well, in this database, you came across a chain of emails discussing fetal tissue and the COVID vaccine. Vanessa Gelman, who works in Washington, D.C., is Senior Director of Worldwide Research. The question came up as an inquiry to our MedInfo group. They're asking, quote, did Pfizer make use of a cell line from an aborted fetus?
They want you to leave out the highlighted part, which is the one or more cell lines with an origin that can be traced back to human fetal tissue has been used in laboratory tests associated with the vaccine program.
And here we have your badge. You are an employee of Pfizer?
I work at the McPherson, Kansas plant. It's one of the biggest plants in the operation of Pfizer. We produce some of the most units.
This message from Vanessa Gilman.
From the perspective of corporate affairs, we want to avoid having the information on the fetal cell lines floating out there. We believe that the risk of communicating this right now outweighs any potential benefit that we could see, particularly with general members of the public who may take this information and use it in ways we may not want it out there. We have not received any questions from policymakers or media on this issue in the last few weeks, so we want to avoid raising this if possible.
Wow. We believe...
Stop it. Freeze it. Do you understand this, folks? Not, the media is cooperating. Policymakers are cooperating and not asking about fetal cells. Why? Because there's an element of America that if they knew there were fetal cells, pastors standing in the pulpit, except for Robert Jeffress, who calls it a gift from God to kill little unborn babies and then use it to keep you alive. That is child sacrifice. Oh my God, help us. Keep going. This.
Not seen will be revealed.
That's right, brother.
The risk of communicating this right now outweighs any potential benefit we could see. They ought to put that on American currency. Philip Dormitzer, Vice President, Chief Scientific Officer. These are not low-level people here. So you're showing us emails between the Vice President of Pfizer, the Senior Director of Worldwide Research, about how to couch it a certain way because we would not want to tell the people that it can be traced back to human fetal tissue. Copying Vanessa Gelman, we have an approved answer to this question, the question being about fetal tissue, which Vanessa can probably provide, HEK2932. What does that mean, heck?
Human embryo kidney cells, and it was from experiment 293.
They've used cells from aborted fetuses.
Yes,
and they don't want the public to know that.
Yes.
That's staggering for society because of what you said, religious exemptions.
And they're denying our religious exemptions at Pfizer.
This is serious stuff you're dealing with. These are powerful people and a very powerful company.
They're withholding knowledge on people's approval if they can consent or not.
from Sarah Elizabeth Weiser, the principal scientist.
She's just making sure, you know, just be clear. You would like medical information to reply with the text in red below, including the highlighted section. Okay. Thanks again. And then they responded with,
no, I would prefer that we do not use the text in yellow.
They're being so deceptive in their emails. It's almost like it is in the final vaccine. It just made me not trust it.
There was an issue with the FDA. And
I heard something about they're doing some sort of tests in there with lights, but I'm not sure. And I said, in unoccupied rooms and in a group lead office? And he goes, well, the FDA is coming. I could not believe that they were blacking out windows down in our manufacturing rooms. We are told that you should be seen at all times, that we need to make sure that we have high integrity and the rooms that are like this one where you can see my reflection, it's a group lead office where they just do the paperwork for the batches. Mm. So why does that need blacked out?
And why did you decide to come to Project Veritas?
Because I felt it was the right thing to do. I feel like I have no one else to turn to when my own company won't be honest with me. What I was told to do was to trust Project Veritas and to go with you guys by lawmakers, by lawyers.
Really?
I was really genuinely traumatized and sickened from the things I saw, and I needed to leave there. So I just took a leave of absence so that I could gather my thoughts and really kind of heal from this information.
The extraordinary.
Stop that right there. Can anybody? I'm going to open this up to anybody out there, and I'm going to give you a few minutes. Take as long as you want. We got 18 minutes left. Somebody, make the argument for me. Why using aborted baby cells is proper, a gift from God, and of anyway, somebody help me out there. Somebody defend a pastor that would encourage his flock, or better yet, worse yet, leave it up to them. Leave it up to them.
Dave,
yeah,
now listen. We had to be that strict on everything. We couldn't take Tylenol.
That's what they say. That's what they say, right? Yep. Craig, come on in.
Coach, you know what I see listening to that lady? It ties in exactly with what you were doing. The Holy Spirit is chastising people who are in the know to come out and spill the beans.
Right,
and I'm going to I think I'm going to pray so much that the conviction of the Holy Spirit hits the right people in the right places to come forward to do the right thing and to get some dominoes to fall. Because if we get a couple dominoes going, it's going to go big time.
That's why there's a great cloud of witnesses that are watching us too, right? A great cloud of witnesses. We're not going to be able to say, well, I was praying about it. I was in my prayer closet. I was in prayer 6 hours a day over those poor little babies. He grieved my heart. No, we're not going to be able to get away with it. Because those cloud of witnesses, by the way, they're going to be at that judgment seat. And they're just going, whoa, oh, objection! Objection, Your Honor! Objection! He knew better, Your Honor. He knew better. Spencer, get up the video, What is Truth. Get that ready. Let's see. We got Randy. Hang on. Go ahead. Randy, then Reggie, then Dale.
Randy. What Craig said there, let's tie that back to us. Let's tie that back to people that are activists. How do we know that we didn't influence this gal, Coach?
That's right.
You see what the Holy Spirit does? He uses people, Coach. We're the carriers. We are the people that take the Holy Spirit to situations. And this girl, probably her conscience smote her so much that she said, I can't lie Amen. Any longer. I can't
Amen.
Hold back. And it could have been somebody like Craig that just spoke to her at the supermarket.
That's right. Or you don't know the video she saw or something. You don't know, do you? Facebook post.
Amen.
That's why I use Facebook. You don't know who's reading that thing. I'm reaching lost through doing that. Dale or Reggie, then Dale.
Good morning, Coach. About 13 years ago, I helped somebody do a paper because I researched vaccines. And so there's two points I want to make. Anybody that's ever been vaccinated, period, dot, has already received aborted fetal cell lines because they've been used in all of the other, I think it's chickenpox is the only one that does not have.
Well, Reggie, not knowingly though. We know now, Reg. Go ahead.
Yeah. So with that said, I was helping about a year ago up in New York, some advocates and religious pastors and one priest go around with Robert Kennedy. And anyhow, long story short is their argument, a lot of the pastors and priests' argument was space and time. Well, that was done here. So they're trying to logically argue it, saying, well, it's because the abortion and the line was this many years ago, space and time.
But the witnesses are watching, Reggie.
Exactly. So no, there's no space and time that gets to delete where it came from. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yep. Yeah. Amen. Oh, this is heavy. Dustin, come in. Then Jack.
You forgot me, Coach.
Yeah, but you've been in here four times. Go ahead.
Yes. So, you know, for us that were vaccinated growing up, right? Obviously, we were children. We didn't know any better. But I know when the Holy Spirit hit me years ago, to never take another one of those jabs again, the first thing I did was repent. Second thing I did was do heavy metal detox.
Amen. I need to do a show on that one, heavy metal detox. Jack, Lindale, go ahead, Jack.
Okay, there's a difference. I've been opposed to people using the aborted fetal tissue argument in the vaccines prior to this one, because if you follow the science, that's a cell line from a single fetus from the early 70s or something. The one right now, this nightmare is where we should be really hammering it, because every one of these vaccines has current multiple aborted baby parts in it. So there's a huge, huge difference. And we need to be focusing on it prior. We kind of used up our ammunition in a bad way.
Yeah, gotcha. Good point. Come on in, Dale. Dale, come on in. Then James.
Well, I just wanted to piggyback off what Reggie said. I had this debate with some high leaders in some other pro-life organizations, and they used that line that this was from a long time ago. I said, yeah, did you do the study and see those German commanders who were over Auschwitz when they got arrested like 10 years ago? They were still sentenced for murder. It doesn't matter how long crime happened. It's still the crime, and it's just punishment.
And by the way, those witnesses are still watching up there. Come on in, James.
Good morning. I just wanted to see if y'all were aware and y'all's opinion on this. I've seen some videos now of the vaccines being tested in these self-assembling nanobots are forming in them.
Oh yeah. Carrie Madej did one of them. It's crazy. Yep.
And I've been an experiment on this. I've been taken into the CDC in 2016. That this stuff is in me. I've been working for years taking the NAC and whatnot to get heavy metals out of my body. And excuse me, I'm in a chair. It's misogyny. But the thing is that, you know, it used to be called Morgellons disease.
Right. I remember that. Yes.
Well, so that's still the protocol. But my worry is, you know, I keep thinking, you know, Bible says mark of the beast, right hand or forehead. And I know there's a lot of different ways to think of that. But, you know, and I still want to believe that, you know, I didn't choose. I was mind controlled and the stuff was put into me. So,
yes, sir.
I didn't choose this. And I still believe that there's going to be a choice, but this is a real mess, y'all.
It's a real mess.
Really crazy, like something out of a sci-fi movie now to everyone.
I think
I couldn't really get it out there and get people to really understand, but it's surreal and it's happening now.
There's a video, I think it had posted at Coach Dave Live, Dr. Carrie Madej, the stuff that she saw under a microscope is stuff that regenerates, doesn't die, and is non-human. Now, you can believe that or not. On the website, go look at it. Okay, so I want to show you this. First of all, this Merrill Garland, who they almost made the Supreme Court. They wanted him on the Supreme Court. Now he's the Attorney General. Did you know this? Of course you didn't. His son and all owns a business that produces critical race theory curriculums for schools. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So he's going, he's now upset that parents are going to school districts against critical race theory, and his son-in-law has the curriculum they're using. Scroll down a second. Now, I want you to watch this, folks. This is called gaslighting. Do you guys know what gaslighting is? Gaslighting is for throwing gas on the fire, starting a fire that wasn't there before, or taking something that's just beginning to burn and throwing gas on it. And watch the media here. This isn't a very long segment. This is Tucker Carlson showing us examples of gaslighting from the media. Don't ever forget, the media is on the devil's team. Go ahead.
Suburban parents resist having nihilistic ruling class ideologies imposed by force on their children. Our media seem to believe it is perfectly fine to designate them terrorists and threaten them with firearms.
In a version of America where school board meetings have become the new culture war battlegrounds, with children caught in the crosshairs, sometimes literally and sometimes figuratively.
Right now, everyone from the Proud Boys to the Oath Keepers to QAnon influencers are trying to encourage their members, their followers, their maniacs to show up at school board hearings.
Some behavior is so bad, it's being compared to domestic terrorism.
This becomes a security crisis, in a sense, for the nation.
How one Republican senator is pretending school board harassment and intimidation aren't off the charts.
Similar tactics to what happened on January 6th that now are being turned against school boards nationwide in a trend that's really disturbing and sinister.
Conservatives manufactured outrage over masks and history lessons, took our school boards hostage like a bunch of screaming maniacs.
So the federal government has designated American parents who are unhappy with the education their children are receiving as domestic terrorists, and the media are defending it. This is so shameful, it's hard to describe. The entire point of a free press is to protect the weak from the strong. But as usual, and more flagrantly every day, our media does exactly the opposite. They slobber over billionaires, they defend the powerful, they call you a bigot if you challenge George Soros. And on the other hand, they clap like seals as working class people go to jail for thought crimes.
Boy, Revelation 2015, come on in. Gaslighting, friends. It's called gaslighting, throwing gas on the fire. That's what the media does. Go ahead.
Yeah, they are gaslighting us. I wanted to say that although the coronavirus and these school board meetings are important to focus on, I think that we're focusing on the right hand when we should be focusing on the left hand. And the left hand is robbing us. Through the Federal Reserve, if you've heard what's going on with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a whole show in itself, right? Jeff, come on in.
Coach, right during this time here with all these school board meetings and all these people gathering, we're going to throw some gas on the fire. October 17th on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock, we're doing the first one there at the Coshocton County Courtyard Square. We're using the gazebo there at the courthouse. 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, 2 to 4, and then it's called the Freedom Rally, We Will Not Bow. And we're setting up there, and then the following Sunday we'll do Mount Vernon. I haven't got exact location Mount Vernon, but we did get a confirmation yesterday. We're going to get old Joe Blystone to come. He's coming Sunday afternoon at Coshocton at 2 o'clock. And we got some other invites out. We'll see if any of them come. But
yeah, well, you just invited the FBI and the Secret Service, and they're coming too. Because remember, they'll never forget this. The job of the police department is to protect the government, not to protect you. Sorry. Good work, Jeff, as always. Good work. Hey, real quickly, Jack, did you want to say something? Reggie forgot to take her hand down. I know. Jack, what did you want?
Yeah, real quick, I am so thankful for Merrick Garland. He has just made it so that we have some company. I'm no longer the only domestic terrorist in Northern Maine. There's a whole bunch of us. Yeah,
yeah. Man. Pressure's off, Jack. Go to that video of truth. What is truth? This is, again, I watch this every once in a while because this is one of the most profound videos of all time. This is Jesus before Pilate, because our battle's over truth. Wait, see, they tell us that they like science. They don't like science. They like compromise science. They like influence science. They like science that they make up. That's what they like. But ultimately, it all comes back to truth. And here's Jesus is going to come in, and Pilate's going to be looking truth right in the eye, and he doesn't even recognize it. That's where we are in America today. Except for you, because you've been marked. Got a mark on your forehead. Go ahead and play that, Spence.
Is this the man you think so dangerous? This? The man that aspires to be a king? Come. Come, come, come. Now, the leaders of the Sanhedrin accuse you of preaching perverted doctrines.
Hang on, freeze it. Freeze it. The leaders of the Sanhedrin accuse you of being anti-vaccination. The leaders of the Sanhedrin accuse you of being anti-government. The leaders of the Sanhedrin, see, they can accuse whatever they want to. Watch what Jesus does with this accusation.
Come. They also say you call yourself the King of the Jews. Well, are you King of the Jews?
If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would have fought to prevent me from being captured.
Oh, you speak of a kingdom. Therefore, you must be a king. Are you a king?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he is.
I am. I was born for one purpose. To bear witness to the truth. All who can accept the truth, hear my voice.
And what is the truth?
Wow! There's the battle. There's the battle. Some people can look it right in the eye and don't see the truth. Come on, Glenn.
Yeah, this is good, Coach. I think we have to remember, and sometimes we lose sight of the fact that we who are in a different kingdom and are trying to communicate kingdom principles yes. by speaking up, have to remember that those that are in the other kingdom aren't getting it.
They can't get it.
Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't speak up. We need to speak up, but we just have to remember that sometimes they look at us like deer in a headlight because they don't get it.
They don't get it. Can't get it, Glenn. The Bible says if you haven't received the Spirit, you cannot see it. So he told Nicodemus, you cannot see it. You don't have the software.
Yeah, we should have a sometime, Coach. We should have a show just on baptism to look and see it, to determine if we're saved or not. Just a consideration.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Here's what I think, boys and girls. we're entering into something, right? The separation's coming between the not just the sheep and the goats, sheep and the sheep, between the those who are all in and those who aren't all in. That separation's coming. Wrap it up, Clay.
They're trying to skewer us from going to those school board meetings, Coach.
They are,
that's
brother.
What they're trying to
yes,
do.
That's right. They're doing the same thing that they're doing about Washington, D.C. Don't go to Washington, D.C., and don't go to school board meetings.
And here's the thing. Jesus fastened that whip, and when he went into that temple, there were thousands of people, they say, in that temple. And if you don't think that he was brave and went up in there, and we can't go into a school board meeting with just a few people sitting up there, we got to be more like Jesus.
Amen, Clay. And I'm going to finish with this for today. How long are we going to beg evil men to do good? That's where the whole thing's gone. We go to these school board meetings and we beg evil men to do good. And they're not going to do it. Because if they were going to do it, they'd already done it. This is not heading in a good direction. FBI. I'm not planning any overthrow of anything. I'm just telling you, this is where it's going. And if you're watching this thing and you're working for the FBI and you think that we are somehow un-American and un-Christian, dude, you better check where you're plugged in, because you got yourself a serious worldview issue. God bless you, folks. See you tomorrow. I know they're watching.